That is Dwayne Eddy from his recently released album, Road Trip,
woo-hoo!
Which is storming the charts all over Great Britain. And the twang sounds better than ever. Dwayne, congratulations, man. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, and thank you very much.
Oh, golly. This is a fantastic album, Dwayne.
Oh, great. I'm glad you think so.
You got to be so tickled. And I got to tell you, when you put the CD on, and I've said it from the very first time we popped the CD into the CD player, there's a movie that plays in your head. And yeah. It's a very good movie, too.
Oh, yeah, I'd like to walk barefoot through your mind and see it.
But literally, every single cut on this album sounds like it could be, I think I mentioned this to you in one of the emails we had, it could be a theme from another movie. Just great stuff.
Yeah.
Well, it's been 15 years. What took you so long?
It's been longer than that, really. I mean, I did that.
Ghost Rider.
Thing for, Ghost Rider for Mike Curb, but that was all covering the old stuff, most of it, except for a couple, three tracks. And this is the first new one. This is the first time anybody's asked me to do an album in 25 years.
Oh, my gosh. You
makes you wonder what the heck is wrong with the recording industry.
Well, I know what's wrong with that.
Because it was 25 years ago that you went back into the studio with The Art of Noise and redid Peter Gunn, right?
Yeah,
back in 86.
Right.
Yeah, that was pretty cool, but it's hard to believe that was 25 years ago.
I know. It is. And then I did the Capitol album at the same time, right after The Art of Noise.
With Paul McCartney and a few of his friends.
Yeah, George Harrison and Ry Cooder and The Art of Noise and two guitar players and musician friends that were Jim Horn, Larry Nechtel, James Burton, Steve Cropper, so forth. Mm-hmm. And had a great time. That was more of an adventure than a project.
Mm-hmm.
But that was then, and this is now. And I got to ask you, honestly, are you stunned by the reaction to the album? Because it has, for people who don't know, honestly, it has been storming the charts over in the UK. It's doing terrifically well on Amazon. I think it's number one on their rock charts. And it's like it's the 1950s and 60s all over again for Dwayne Eddy. And how cool is that?
It's very cool. They're going to release it here too, Steve.
Yay!
Yeah, it's going to come out here. I don't know exactly when, but soon. I mean, they're going to go right ahead and go to work on it here, I think. I don't know what the plan is, what the attack will be, but they're going to try to let it escape out here.
And well, please tell the powers that be over with the record company that whenever it is officially released, we want to get you back on, let everybody know that they can get it in this country. And and we're going to lobby to get Dwayne Eddy up in Chicago, too.
Yeah, well, I might just have to drive up for that.
Yes.
It works for us.
Yeah.
I love the story behind the album, too. You really did this old school, and congratulations to the people with the studio over there. They had such a great feel. The sound is terrific.
Yeah, that's Colin Elliott, who's did the engineering and owns, I guess he owns part of the studio, and they have it there to do Richard Hawley's recordings. Richard's a very well-known, successful, hugely successful singer and guitar player there.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to get him over here to the next and get him famous here, because he's just great. And And I just love him because he knows his music, and he's in his heart he should have been here in the '50s. He'd have, you know, would have been a whole different story.
But that is so obvious. If people want to do a YouTube search, they can find some videos of you and Richard playing before about 175,000 people at the Glastonbury Festival.
Yeah, and check out Richard on his YouTube videos as well. You'll be surprised. I mean, you'll be well pleased to see them. You'll be knocked out with them. And, but he was the driving force behind this album of mine, this new album, Road Trip. And he's the producer, and as I say, the driving force behind it. And he also wrote some of the songs, and just drove everybody to get it done. And it's his band that are playing on it.
Is he on piano on this too? On some of the
tracks? No, that's John Trier that does piano.
Oh, okay.
No, Richard's a guitar player. Mm-hmm. He's and a darn good one too. Mm. I might add. He was a guitar player for a group called Pulp. And
oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then he went out on his struck out on his own, and he's just amazing. And just a great player. And anyway, I forgot what I was saying.
It's okay.
Trouble getting old, you kind of, your mind wanders.
Our minds wander for five hours every night.
And they pay us, too, yeah. for that.
Yeah. But I digress. But I keep digressing. And
okay, hold your.
I started from, you know.
Hold your thought, whatever that thought is. And we'll tell our listeners that we're talking with truly one of our favorite people on this earth. He is just a treasure, Dwayne Eddy, who has a new CD out. You know, we've been giddy about it for weeks now. We're just tickled to kick off our week and to be able to share his music with you on New Music Monday here on WGN.
And Dwayne won't be staying with us for the entire 5 hours, although he's more than welcome to. But we are going to be featuring Dwayne's new album, Road Trip, throughout the entire 5 hours of our show. In fact, right out of this break, we're going to go to one of my favorite cuts, and after we play it, we'll get Dwayne to talk a little bit about it, a cut called Twango, a terrific cut. Dwayne, I can't tell you how many times we played that over and over and over again.
I love that.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so much
great.
Fun. And a little bit of Django Reinhardt, a nod to Chet Atkins.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sweet.
Well, they're playing that on the BBC, I understand, too. Mm-hmm. They were before we left. We were just over there a couple weeks ago, and maybe it'll get in their charts as well.
Mm-hmm.
But where did you get the idea for that song?
Pardon?
Where did you get the idea for that song?
I don't know. It just popped in my head one day, and Chez worked on it. Chez is the guitar player. Chez Sheridan was the group, and John Trier plays the piano. He's on some of the other things more. And let's see. We got... who else have we got in the band? Dean Beresford's on drums.
Thanks, Dean.
Yeah, well, I see they can hear you, Dean.
Behind every man, there he is.
And of course, Colin Elliott's on bass. Uh-huh. And Richard jumps in there with us sometimes and plays a little. Go ahead.
A funny thing happened on Friday morning because we wanted to play something from the CD. We play one last song before we leave the show every morning. And usually it's an almanac song. It has something to do with maybe somebody's birthday or a big moment in music history.
Or sometimes we promote
something
that's
coming
up. So we were promoting the fact that you were going to be on with us tonight.
History was being made because we were promoting the fact that you were going to be on with us. But Dwayne, we had already decided that we are going to play The Attack of the Duckbill Platypus.
Yeah.
You will not believe that on Friday, in the history almanac, Friday was the very day the duckbill platypus was brought to the United States for the very first time.
Coincidence? I think not.
And the fact that it would make it into the history almanac. I don't know if that means nothing else happened that day or what.
Well, that was just a working title. But we got, you know, and then we got, we just called duckbill platypus. And we started kidding about him being attacking us or something.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know how musicians get. They get nuts in the studio.
No.
And, well, you know. So, and so we were laughing, kidding around about that, and then somebody came up with The Attack of the Duck-billed Platypus. So we looked it up on Deed was there. She, of course, what do you call that, Googled it, and looked it up and found out, yeah, the duck-billed platypus does have a stinger underneath it somewhere, and it can attack you. So that, you know, we just, that was just ridiculous, and we just kept laughing about it. So finally we decided we couldn't think of a better title for the song.
Yeah.
Left, you know.
I can't tell you how many people we've heard from that said, you know, that's got to be in a James Bond movie.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that would be fun, wouldn't it?
That's, it just oozes Bond.
From your lips to their ears.
Yeah, amen. So is it true that when you guys went into the studio, all total, it was less than 2 weeks doing the CD?
Yeah, it was 11 days. And it was the guys I just talked about. Oh, and my sax player, of course, Ron, he was there. And he did a couple of three of the tracks, Ron Jubla. And I keep forgetting to mention him. Very important on the live shows, and he's just a great sax player, and does all the solos perfect from the old records.
Absolutely,
yeah.
He's got the terrific feel for it. We're talking with the King of Twang, Duane Eddy. You can go to WGNRadio.com, click on Steve and Johnny. You'll find a link to Duane's brand new website. You will find a link to the Gretsch Guitar site where you can see all about the new Duane Eddy Gretsch Guitar and see a terrific video of Duane. You will find a link to the Amazon site where you can buy Road Trip. You can download it. You can get it. Even though it's not yet officially released in this country, you can get a copy of it, and you should. So go to WGNRadio.com, click on Steve and Johnny, our blog after dark. And you find everything you ever wanted to know about Duane Eddy. And we'll talk more with the King of Twang coming up. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That is the King of Twang, Duane Eddy, from his brand new album. Yes, there is a brand new Duane Eddy album. It is called Road Trip, and we're going to be featuring it for the next 5 hours. Duane, you want to hang with us for all 5 hours?
I don't know if I can do that or not.
I got to tell you, this particular cut, I want to hear it on a jukebox in a tavern someplace. Yeah, I just want to hear it turned up real big and loud and have people just dancing like crazy.
Right, yeah. I'd like that, too.
I have to say, there is one of the videos that is online. You go to YouTube, you do a search for Duane Eddy, and you will find a video of Duane doing Curveball at the Glastonbury Festival, which is a huge festival over in Great Britain. I think this year, honestly, they said the attendance was about 175,000, but it looked like it was about 110 degrees in the shade, Duane. How hot was it on the stage?
It was, I don't know, it could have been 110 on the stage. It was, there was no breeze getting through there at all, but the people out in front had some, and but the sun was beating in there right in our eyes, you know. It was, we were facing the west, obviously. Mm-hmm. And so it was pretty warm, pretty hot. And then they started some smoke going. I thought something had caught on fire,
oh,
but it
God.
Was just... they were trying to, I guess, think to convince the young kids there that we were, you know... cool. Had their smoke going.
Somebody's bright idea.
You've been cool every day of your life. I want to share a couple texts with you, texts and emails coming in. One from Anthony who says, wow, you feel the music as it plays. Great movie in my head, too. I'm hooked already. Keep them coming. Another one from, let's see, Truck and Phil says, wow, hello, Mr. Duane Eddy, Semper Fi.
Hey, Phil. Semper Fi to you.
Another one says, my dad played Duane Eddy the time while I was growing up. The twang was stuck in my head when I picked up a bass in 79. I've used that sound to forge my own. Thank you, Duane Eddy.
And Jan
thank
says...
his dad, too.
Yeah. Jan says, I'm sitting at my computer and I'm listening to you, Steve, and Duane Eddy, and I just ordered Duane's new CD on Amazon.com, and I can't wait to receive it and play it in my Woody PT Cruiser.
All right.
Love
thank
the
her.
Show.
And John says in an email, I just want to say that it's great to hear that Duane Eddy put out a new album. I was about 10 years old when his last one came out. Ha-ha. I hope he comes to play Toronto one day. Here's hoping that it doesn't take 25 years for the next album. It's nice to hear someone be so humble after having so much success and time in the business.
Oh, thank you very much. Very kind words, and I do hope I get up to Toronto. That'd be fun. We used to go up there and play Maple Leaf Gardens. I don't know if that's still there anymore, but...
And
Pardon?
Wanted to a special shout out on our Facebook page. I believe you know this name. I know he is a member of the Gretsch group. Richard Bagley on our Facebook says, I'll be up at 600 hours in London, UK to listen.
Oh, boy. He's... Poor guy's a glutton for punishment.
No, we're talking a fan. Can we talk a little bit about the love that the Brits have for you? Because I remember recently I was reading an interesting piece that I think it went back to 1960 when you were on the bill opening for Bobby Darin. And as the story goes, 10 minutes into his set, I guess people were already chanting, "We want Dwayne."
Yeah.
And you know, I think, wow. And that goes way back to the beginning of your career. They've always had this love affair with you.
Well, they had just not seen anybody recreate the actual the record sound on stage before. Mm-hmm. And I had my original group, Jim Horn, Larry Nechtel, and Jimmy Troxel and Dave Campbell on drums and bass. And, you know, so we sounded, and Troxel had played Bonnie Came Back, which was the current single I had at the time. Uh-huh. And so we could, of course, do it, and it sounded just identical to the record, and they had not heard that. So it kind of, we didn't think they liked us, actually.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we got about halfway through the show, and Jim kind of eased over by me, and he says, I don't think they like us, man. I said, no, it's going to be a long night. And we're, you know, because we'd do a song, and there's just polite applause at the end, you know. So we'd go ahead and do another one, and we were used to kids screaming all the way through the songs, not listening, actually. And you know how they were here back in those, well, maybe
sure.
You don't. You're not old enough, uh-huh. But you know, when you were still little kids.
Uh-huh.
you might have seen a Dick Clark show here.
Yeah.
And saw them screaming, you know. And they used to scream, and which didn't worry me because I could play louder than they screamed. We got to England, they didn't scream. It was just dead silent, listen, and then polite applause at the end of each song. So we were sweating by the end of the show. And then, of course, at the end, they just exploded, and the whole place went up. And they just, like you say, they started that chant, "We want Dwayne," and they kept applauding and stomping their feet and just carrying on like very un-British-like, actually. And no, I'm just teasing them.
Yeah.
And so we didn't know how to act, and then Bobby tried to follow me on, and it took him about 10 minutes to get him, which he did because he's just the consummate entertainer he was, and such a pro that pretty soon they stopped chanting and started listening, you know, because how could you resist it, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you talk about getting that same sound as you had on the record. Some people don't know, but that is one of the reasons why you haven't toured quite as much, because you're very particular. You want to give your audience the sound that they've heard on the record in a live performance. And a lot of artists don't and can't do that, but you respect your audience, and that's why you always try to do that.
Yeah, I do. And, well, I feel that's what they're paying for. You know, they don't want to pay to come in and see somebody and have them do the songs all differently and not even be able to recognize them or anything, or barely recognize them. I just don't think that's giving them their money's worth, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you want to take a song that they know and explain to them, look, you know, I want to try a different version of this, see what you think, you know, and then do it maybe, and they can either applaud or not, you know. And but to do it the whole show like that, or even, you know, your big hits, why, they just like to hear them like they remember them from the records.
Mm-hmm.
And it all comes flooding back then, and they get a nice experience out of it, I think.
Sure. Speaking of a nice experience, from what I've read, recording this album was a really nice experience for you. I believe you said that it was almost like doing some of the early stuff in Phoenix.
It was. There just wasn't any cactus outside the studio. And no water tank out there for our echo. But other than that, and it was just really a comfortable studio. And there's a picture of it on the inside of the... Well, you have the advanced copy without all the artwork, so but there's a picture of it in the album, and the studio in the middle of it, and let's see, and the guys were there. I mean, like I said, you know, it was John and Chez and Dean and Ron and Richard and Colin. And all of them were there, and we were all doing it live, you know.
Yeah.
They were doing it like we did in Phoenix. They'd all chip in and come up with ideas and say, well hey, wait a minute, what if we did this right there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and...
So you get that energy going, too.
Yeah, you do. You get that energy going, and it's all live, and you're all looking at each other, listening to each other, and it's just... And we just wrote the songs, we demoed them, and then we just recorded them. And, it just was a great experience. It was like being in a real studio again.
Yeah. I mean, by the way, speaking of the finished product album, God bless you for putting it out on vinyl. Yes.
I know. Isn't that great?
Yes.
The manager's idea, Graham Wrench. He's my manager and Richard's manager also. I borrow everything over there from Richard these days. Richard Holly. He loans me his manager, his band, his studio.
Uh-huh.
And so, anyway, his idea was to make it in vinyl. I guess it was his idea.
Mm-hmm.
And he's taking credit for it anyway. And I was really knocked out when I saw that they put a CD in it, too. So, or you can just order the CD in a regular CD package, too. You can do it either way.
Well, our listeners are doing that right now. The CD is entitled Road Trip, and we're talking with Duane Eddy, and we'll come right back and talk about this latest trip that he's taken after so many years back in the studio in this wonderful finished product.
King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Our special guest is a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He has sold more rock and roll instrumentals than
anyone
in the universe.
Anyone, ever.
I think about 100 million at last count. And Duane Eddy has a brand new album out called Road Trip, and this is the title track. And Duane, I have to share something with you. I don't know if I ever told you this, but back in the 50s, early 60s, when I would get a new Duane Eddy album, it was a kind of an emotional experience, because I would just put the album on and I would let it play over and over and over and over again. And this album takes me to the same place that your best early albums, like Especially For You, things like that, took me. I mean, it is just such a great album. I know I'm sounding like I'm gushing, but it's a great bleeping album, Duane. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
You can quote him on that. It's a great bleeping album.
He's having the same reaction apparently that a lot of reviewers had. We got those kind of reviews from everybody that have heard it, and just been an amazing experience for me. I never had such great reviews, and so many of them, and it's just been an amazing thing. And but I tell you, Richard just was a great producer. And speaking of producers, Monroe Jones said to say hi to you.
Well, hey, Monroe.
I saw him yesterday, and I told him I was doing this interview, and he said, well, tell him hi. He says, Don't know. They remember me. Or
absolutely.
Yeah.
And Monroe is the one that you've worked with for the past several years as you've come out with your Christmas songs.
Right. That's all. That's right. Yes.
Yeah.
Keep forgetting about those.
And also there's another album that hopefully will see the light of day in the not too distant future.
We've been working on that. We're going to finish that up here one of these days. Maybe this will open some doors. This album will open some doors to where we can get that one finished up and out eventually.
Well, you talk about whether it's my reaction, the critic's reaction. While you were in the studio doing this, did you kind of get a feeling something special was going on?
To tell you the truth, I knew, no, I didn't. I knew it was good because I was enjoying what I was doing, but also I was exhausted and I had a terrible cold that month when I was over there. And 6 weeks, whatever it was, 4 or 5 weeks. Mm-hmm. And so I was just really exhausted and just really not up to par, but it sounded pretty good to me, and I just kind of let the guys make most of the choices and everything, and they kind of carried me along with it, you know, and I'm going to try and do that next time. If we get to do another one, I'm going to try to do that again, just let them have their heads, you know, and see what they come up with.
But, do you realize right now there are umpteen guitar players banging their head against the wall saying, and this is how he sounds when he's not feeling good?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I am a little better when I feel good. That twango was a little sloppy in a couple spots.
Oh, come on.
Oh, bite your tongue.
Yeah.
I remember one of our first interviews, we talked about technology, and I remember you saying that one of the things that concerned you about music, and this was probably 15, 20 years ago, you said was it's becoming too sterile, that you needed to go into the studio, and when you had the feel, you go with the feel. And so what if there are a couple little sidesteps?
That's true. That's true. And there's been a mistake on every big hit I ever had in the old days. Nobody ever busted me on it, but I knew it was there.
Uh-huh. Well, let's hear it for mistakes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it is that I am a little rough and crude and I don't guess you call, I don't know if it's sloppy per se, but it's
no.
It's
just,
no.
You know. Kind of.
Deed, would you slap him, please?
A couple interesting questions. And we've mentioned Richard Hawley a number of times, who you worked with not only on co-producing but co-writing. And this is an email from Keith who says he's from Birmingham and not Alabama. So I assume it's 6 o'clock in the morning where he's listening to us.
Yeah.
How did Dwayne, and he
Seven.
Says... Yeah, right, coming up on 7. He says, I apologize if Dwayne already explained this, but how did you come to meet Richard Hawley so that you could work together on this project?
Well, I actually met his manager first, Graham Wrench. A friend mm-hmm. of ours put us in contact with each other and a mutual friend, and then he emailed me and asked if he could come over and visit, and I said, sure. Mm-hmm. And he had some ideas, and he came over and he said, you should be doing something. And I said, well, okay. I'm not against that. And so he went back and put this whole thing together, a few dates over there at the Royal Festival Hall. Mm-hmm. And we sold that out, and which I was amazed. But he wasn't. I mean, he said, I told you. And he said, I knew you'd do good, you know. And and then we went to a dinner at the Mojo Magazine Awards dinner, and you know, just to meet some people and everything, and they gave me an Icon Award.
Right, right.
And Richard got the Album of the Year, and that's when I met Richard for the first time that night, and I'm sitting at his table.
Uh-huh.
And Jimmy Page was there, got to say hello to him, and you know, it was just tons of people in the business. Emmy Lou was there. Of course, uh-huh. She's everywhere. Uh-huh. I run into her everywhere. And but she lives here in town. That's why I keep running into her. And always nice to see her. And anyway, so it was just a nice, lovely evening. And that's when I met Richard. And then I told him I'd been listening to his stuff, which he found weird. Mm-hmm. And And I said, you know, that big sound you got, I just times when I've been listening to a track off your album and I just think, man, I'd like to just jump in that with both feet and play a solo, you know. He said, that could be arranged. But then we my manager, you know, Graham said, hey, we've got no budget, we've got no songs, let's make an album.
So, but we've got the desire.
We have the desire, and so that's what we did. And like I say, Richard was the driving force behind it. Colin was the steadying hand, and the rest of the guys, they just all jumped in both feet, and and just made it great. John Trier wrote a couple of the songs. He wrote "The Attack of the Duck-billed Platypus," and I think the next one in your list there, Bleak Low Air.
Yeah, yeah.
You wrote that.
Well, let me ask you this. We're honestly not going to keep you for the entire 5 hours, but we have to break for news. Can you hang with us for just a couple minutes after the news?
Sure can.
We're talking with the king of twang, Dwayne Eddy, and all morning long we're going to be featuring Dwayne's terrific new album, Road Trip. Stay with us at WGN. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. If you're just joining us, where the heck you been? We're excited to be able to spend some time with one of our favorite people, the King of Twang, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, Dwayne Eddy, who has a terrific new album out. The album is called Road Trip, and it belongs in your collection. It is not yet officially released in this country, but we've got links up on our WGN website where you can go to sites and you can get a copy of it now. Dwayne, again, I don't mean to get syrupy with you, but...
Oh, go ahead.
Okay.
Get syrupy.
This song is an example of any of a number of songs that are on this album that make you feel emotional. I mean, you get wrapped up in this. You create a mood, and it just takes you to a terrific place.
That place, the name of the song is Bleak Low Air. And Bleak Low is just a lonely spot up on the moors outside of Sheffield, you know, north of there in Yorkshire. And that countryside around there is just, we got out in it and they showed us around and it was just amazing. And I think it may have influenced some of the moods and the colors on this album, you know. It's just, it was just so beautiful. You'd go down this steep, long canyon, and at the bottom it'd open up into a beautiful valley with rock walls and a river running through it, and pastures and little houses and a village, and just you know, an old English village that you think, my gosh, this should be am I on the back lot of MGM or something, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just absolutely gorgeous. And Sheffield, the city, is nice too. It's really beautiful and a fun city to be in. The people are nice. It reminds me a lot of Nashville in the south. It's just, everybody's so friendly there.
Yeah, I hear you've fallen in love with Great Britain. Please tell me you're not going to move.
No, I shouldn't think so. I don't think I'll move. I might get a place. We might get a place over there so we could stay in the summers and work, you know, if we could get the work and if this does well. But other than that, no, I don't think we'll be moving. But
in fact, there's a nice nod to Franklin on the new CD, Franklin Town.
Yeah, that's so funny. I played it for my friend Kenny O'Dell here, who is married to Corky. It played rhythm on all my
early
stuff.
And Kenny O'Dell, the same Kenny O'Dell that had a hit with Beautiful People?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And he wrote Behind Closed Doors.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
And Mama, He's Crazy for the Judds. Yeah, so that's Kenny. He's just a sweetheart. And we've been friends for... never mind, decades. And he came over, and when he listened to Franklin Town, he said, I didn't tell him the title, I just played it for him. And he said, man, that sounds like, you know, he says, I can, He says, I can picture the Civil War, the battlefields around here, he said. And I said, well, funny you should say that, because the name of the song is Franklintown.
Wow.
Which Richard came up with because it struck him that it might picture something. It's kind of the way he pictured Franklin, you know. And I thought, wow, talk about your coincidence, you know.
And that was a bit of a nod. You're playing acoustic on that, and that was a bit of a nod to your Songs of Our Heritage album.
Right, which is the thing that Richard wanted to do. He wanted to include several different types of things that I had done in the past, you know, just a nod to them. Like, we'll say, for instance, Curveball could be like Moving and Grooving or something, and... Road Trip could be 40 miles, you know. You know, just things like that. But
speaking of guitars, Billy wants to know, what guitar did you play most on the new CD?
On the new CD, all except for two songs, I played the new Gretsch, the signature Gretsch. And it's just so lovely. As you can hear from the tone, it sounds like I've got my original 57 Gretsch back, you know, and because the old one, I have to crank up the amp a bit to hear it, to get it to come up with a big sound. But this one, boy, it's all right there now. It just reminds me of when I first got the Gretsch and started Cut Rebel Rouser and all those songs. It just, this new one has got that sound.
In fact, speaking of when you cut the originals, let me go to a text from an 815 area code. Says, I'm curious about the origin of Dwayne's twangy sound, the very beginning. How did that happen?
Well, I knew that playing the bass strings was stronger than the treble strings. You know, it was more powerful on the recording. I learned that from doing a few sessions and being in the studio a little bit. And then I also realized that, you know, you had to have a good melody and or a very strong riff to make a whole instrumental out of it. And and I learned from country artists that you had to have your own style, do it with authority, and, you know, put some emotion into it. And so I did all those things, and that's how I came up with the sound. Lee Hazelwood was my producer, and he got the sound on the... He had studied all the sounds that he liked in hit records while he was being a DJ. He'd sit there and listen to them on this great system in the radio stations that they always had in those days. And so he'd analyze these sounds, so he knew what kind of bass sound he wanted, what kind of drum sound, what piano, etc. And then I came in with my guitar sound, and he just added echo to it and put it with the band, and where we were, we had it.
Well, that you mentioned the difference between this recording experience and back in the early days with Lee at the Phoenix studio, and you said that there was a water tank outside. Was that used for echo purposes?
Yes, it was. And we actually went down by the Salt River and yelled into it and to see if it had echo, you know. We yelled into a bunch of them. We finally found this 2,000 gallon. We're down there going, whoop, whoop. You know, and waiting for it to go whoop, 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 back at us. And finally we found one that did it really well. And so the studio owner, I'm sorry to say, Floyd, bought it and shipped it and had it trucked up to the studio. And they set it outside in the parking lot in the back of the studio. And the engineer, Jack, he wired it up with a speaker at one end and a mic at the other. So they'd run my guitar sound through it, and it would swirl around there, and the mic would pick it up at the other end, and I'd have echo. And then we'd take it to Gold Star in Hollywood and overdub sax, usually, or maybe voices or something, or strings, and then we'd add the gold, and Lee would mix it over there and then add that Gold Star echo to it, too. So we had tons of echo, and Gold Star was a great echo, and they had a great chamber echo.
But you truly were crazy kids, because you were just kids.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we were in our early 20s, you know. And I was 19 when we kept Moving and Grooving. And,
yeah, let's go get us a storage tank. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we can tour with it, too.
Yeah. No, yeah, it was a little hard to carry in the,
that's
in the back of the car. You know?
We're talking with Dwayne Eddy. We're getting wonderful response. And, you know, our audience has the greatest questions. In fact, I'd like to thank Lisa for sending me a link to an article in The Quietus, thequietus.com. There's a great picture of Dwayne and the article is entitled Things I Have Learned, Dwayne Eddy on Falling in Love with Sheffield and the Penines, P-E-N-N-I-N-E-S.
Yeah.
What a great article. And she,
I forget how they say it. The Penines? Penines?
Well, the funny thing was she
Penines.
Said the hair stood up on her arms because as we were talking about Sheffield, she stumbled across this article and went, whoa, this is weird.
Yeah. Well, I tell everybody about it, how much I like it there. So,
yeah, that's,
you know,
that's cool. Well, I think we're having a couple of those moments where we go, whoa, the stars are in alignment tonight. We'll come right back with Dwayne Eddy. We're not keeping him all night, but the music from the new CD Road Trip is our New Music Monday. That's what you'll be hearing all night.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That twanging guitar can belong to only one man, Dwayne Eddy. The new album is Road Trip. As you can hear, and as you will hear for the rest of our show this morning, it is an absolutely beautiful album. It rocks, it has blues, it's just all over the place. It belongs in your collection. And one of the things that kind of goes back to some of the early days of Dwayne Eddy albums is not only the images created by the music, but also some of the titles. Kindness Ain't Made of Sand. What an interesting title, Dwayne.
Yeah, that's I don't know when that crept in. It's one of those times I was not feeling good and went and laid down in the office or something. I think somebody came up with that. I think Richard came up with that title.
But it fits you so well because, you know, knowing you over the years, I just feel like that's how you feel.
Yeah. Well, we no, that's true, and. Mm-hmm. I don't know, you know.
It just felt right. There's so much about this that felt right. In fact, here's a crazy question for you for people who haven't held a piece of vinyl in their hands in a while. Kids, you flip vinyl over.
Yeah.
So Bill wants to know if the track listing is the same on the vinyl Road Trip as it is on the CD.
It is. It's very identical. Side one ends with the one you just played, Kindness Ain't Made of Sand.
Uh-huh.
And side two starts with Mexborough Ferry Boat Halt, which I didn't know what that meant either until Chez wrote the song, uh-huh. Chez Sheridan, and the guitar player in the group. And he, his grandfather worked on a railroad in Mexborough, which is a town not too far from Sheffield.
Mm-hmm.
And they the train used to go to cross the river on a ferry boat in those days, around World War II. And so they had to stop the ferry boat halt, I guess is what it was called, where they'd wait for the ferry boat to come and then they drive the train onto the ferry boat or part of it and take it across, you know.
And then, of course, the last cut would be then Franklin Town on side two.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Who did the artwork on the CD? Because that's really...
I love the picture.
Picture's
oh,
cool.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, that was a guy named Mark... what was it, Dean? The artwork, Mark Malston.
Malston,
yeah, Malston, yeah.
Because it's a nice.
He did the photo, I think.
Yeah, it's a mixture of images, and kind of laid on top of each other, and.
Yeah, and then there was another guy who did the art. The actual artwork was Nick. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nick, what? It's on here somewhere.
Sorry. People can buy the album.
That's right. Buy the album yourself.
Yeah.
Read the fine print. It's so darn little I can't see it.
But on vinyl, that's the good thing. The print is bigger.
No, it's not.
Oh.
Oops.
Never mind.
I'm looking at the vinyl and I still can't read it.
I love this text from Smiling Trucker Carl, who says, I have to turn the governor back on my truck listening to Twang and Dwayne this morning. And I love this text, too, from the listener who asked about the origin of your twangy sound. He said, thanks, Steve, for asking that question. To hear an answer from him personally was truly fantastic. And yeah, I can appreciate that. You know, just hearing it from the horse's mouth, as they say,
or from one of the Mount Rushmore of rock and roll. What was this article, Johnny? Just found something. Dwayne.
No, I read this a couple weeks ago, and I smiled. If there was a rock and roll Mount Rushmore, Dwayne Eddy would be George Washington.
Yeah, well, I tell you, they came up with some good ones.
I love that. I'm thinking, but you'd have to be a better hat than George's hat.
Okay, I got it. The sleeve design was by Nick Phillips. He's another Sheffieldite, and. Mm-hmm. And Mark Mauston, Mawston, did the cover photograph, Mark did the photograph, and then Nick did the design the whole thing and put the photograph in with the rest of it. Anyway, you were saying about the
listeners are already they found on I guess the CD Wow they're buying the Road Trip vinyl. $31.99 free shipping right now. If you order now, it's yours.
It works for me.
Paul has a good question, and again, we're kind of up against the clock here. Maybe this is for a future discussion, but I wanted to know if you were able to get a copy of your new CD to Dick Clark, knowing that you have a great history with Dick Clark.
I do have a great history with Dick, but no, I hadn't thought of that, actually, because he's not... I don't think he's doing any radio or anything, but I will have to send him a copy.
I bet he'd love to hear this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. I sent one to Joel Whitburn, who does the Billboard book. Mm-hmm. He's an old friend that I talk to all the time. I haven't talked to Dick in several years, so. But I'll do that. I'll find his address and send him. That's a good idea. Tell him thanks.
Okay, we'll do. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Paul.
We said we weren't going to keep you long, but I am going to ask you this, a specific reason we have to break. Can you hang with us for about 3 minutes after the newscast?
I will. All right. I'll hang with you for as long as you want. I'll hang with you another, while. So at least until we get up to Rose of the Valley or something.
Okay.
That's one of my favorite desert songs, at least.
Yes.
You know.
Oh, bless you.
Okay,
hang in there. We're talking with Dwayne Eddy, the one and only Dwayne Eddy, and the new CD is entitled Road Trip.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. If you're just joining us, we're featuring for New Music Monday Dwayne Eddy's brand new Road Trip album, which is a terrific album. It has not yet been released in the U.S., but you can get it online. And you can go to WGNRadio.com, click on Steve and Johnny, our blog after dark. You'll find links to websites where you can get Road Trip to Dwayne's brand new website, Dwayne-Eddy.com.
By the way, that's E-D-D-Y. For those of you who are going, I don't remember. It couldn't be much easier than that.
Yeah. And Dwayne,
for those who never knew.
Well, I would think that Dwayne is more challenging because
there's three or four ways.
Yeah,
to do that.
Right.
U-A-N-E. Yeah.
Hey, Dwayne, we got a cute blonde that wanted to say hey to you.
Hey, Dwayne.
Hey.
It's Paula.
Oh, Paula.
I don't know if you remember me.
I do.
You do. You sound awesome.
Well, and thank you.
And your music sounds fantastic.
Well, thanks. I'm really glad you're liking it.
Well, I am. And you know what? This isn't going to be your last recording for a while, is it? You're going to be doing some more?
No. Yeah, I think we're going to do... Richard said before I left the other week, he said, I got an idea for a couple new songs. I got an email from him the other day. He says, Chez has got a new idea. So Chez wrote the one we just heard, the Mexborough Ferryboat Halt, which I think is an extremely pretty little song. I mean, a happy little song, don't you think?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Again, every one of them, the title fits perfectly with the tune.
Yeah.
Well, Dwayne, do you think you're going to be doing a little more touring?
I'm hoping to. I think we're going back to England to do some in September and October.
So you really do like it there.
Well, they like me.
Well, we love you.
We're going to come to Chicago.
Yeah, what are we, chopped liver?
Yeah, I mean, 8 hours away. You could be here at our doorstep, and we would show you love.
All right. Okay. Here I come. I'll be there tomorrow.
Don't say that.
No. But anyway, no, it's just that, we'll probably do some dates here, you know, if we get the album, as soon as we get the album out here and do some promotion on it and everything. I'm hoping we can bring the band over from over there and get my sax player from here and just do a few dates, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the promoters, the young ones, don't know me, so they're kind of leery of taking a chance of booking me, so that's why I haven't worked here.
Well, I'm just going to throw it out there. If we got any promoters listening right now, contact us. We'll put you in touch with Dwayne.
Amen. If you don't know who Dwayne is, then you should have your promoter's card taken away from you.
No.
And your American card, and we'll send you to some...
Yeah. See, the thing, I understand it because I know that they're caught up in what's happening right this minute. Yeah. You know, I mean, they want to book Glee. They want to book Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
And
Justin Bieber. And
Justin Bieber, yeah. And I don't blame them.
But then again, there are festivals like the Glastonbury Festival we're talking about. You were playing the same festival with what? With Brandy, with
Beyonce,
and
you too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And let's see who else and was on.
Wasn't CeeLo Green over there too?
Yeah,
Coldplay,
CeeLo Green. Yeah. And 175,000 people in the audience. Do you get nervous when people say, man, we got a sold-out show? It's like 175,000 people.
No, actually, the big crowds are actually easier to play than a small one because you're face-to-face with the small ones. I mean, you can recognize people.
Oh.
And with a big one, you know, there's so many. It's just like it's just anonymous almost.
Uh-huh.
I'm on the stage and...
It's literally a sea of just faces.
A sea of people. You know? Huh. See a few people faces. Hello.
I'll take mine straight up, please.
Yeah. Polly, do you still have that picture that Dwayne sent back with us years ago?
I do. That was like, hi, Paula. He's holding a piece of paper.
Yes, that was a hot, hot day in Nashville. And I got in the back seat of the car and I wrote on a piece of paper and I said, Dwayne, just stand in this parking lot and hold this sign up for Paula. Hi, Paula.
I do. It's one of my favorite pictures. It is. And you know what? You just sound really great, Dwayne. And I'm really looking forward to getting this
CD. You sound
good,
too.
Well, thank you.
And Paula on vinyl. Isn't that cool?
I know. Even better yet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to have to get two copies. I'm going to get one for the car and then one for home.
Good.
Great.
There you go.
Well, there's a CD in the vinyl copy, so...
Oh, that's
it comes
right.
With
yeah,
it.
Yeah. And in fact, a couple of people have said thank you for whatever you had to do with that, because that is, as this guy says, awesome. That is just awesome.
I thought it was, too. Actually, it was Graham's idea, my manager. So, you know, but it was a brilliant idea, I thought, you know, because so many people don't have record players anymore.
Right.
And so they, you know, I mean, well, they can buy the CD separately without the vinyl, you know. And just the CD, and it still has the booklet and all the same stuff, but the pictures and everything. But the vinyl thing is a double CD, you know, opens up, and it's amazing.
Yeah. Well, you're going to love this, because the last song we played, a listener texted and said that as a train enthusiast, I absolutely love that song.
Yeah.
So, again, you know, it evokes the imagery. It's right there.
Yeah, it's a happy little train song, you know.
Yeah.
But the next one, the desert song, there's a story with that. It's, Richard just one afternoon just started playing that. And I thought, oh, my goodness, that's beautiful. And I said, what is that? And he said, oh, it's just an idea I had. And I said, keep doing it. Keep doing it. And I just started filling in answers to it.
Mm.
And it had such a gentle lovely feel to it that I just, you know, just fell in love with it. And sometimes it's like a conversation between two guitars. And sometimes I, you know, answered him. Sometimes I talked ahead of him, and sometimes I just sang along with him. Mm-hmm. And it's called the Desert Song, or Desert Song.
And there we were, out in the desert.
Yeah, there we were. I can picture some guy pushing his rig across the desert. Just, you know.
I wish you could have been in here with us, though, because we had our headphones on, didn't say one word during that song. And Steve looked at me, and I looked at him, and we shook our head, no, not going to interrupt it. Just let it play. Let's go with it.
I know.
And you did a great disc jockey introduction there, my friend.
Yeah, hello.
Wow.
Oh, that worked out great.
It did.
I'm getting good at this stuff. Man, to get a job doing that.
Oh, a couple of people have texted as the song was playing, what a beautiful song. Another texter said, oh, Lord, I love this. I can't tell you how many people they're saying, I thank you so much for playing this CD. I've already ordered it.
So many people saying that they can't wait to get the album.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's wonderful.
It really is.
Amazing. It gives me goosebumps.
And some people saying that they couldn't wait to get the album, so they're downloading it.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Okay.
I love this review that was in The Independent over in Great Britain. The 73-year-old Duane Eddy and his tremolo arms still know how to make those six strings sing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They write, they got some great writers.
Oh, yeah.
You know? I mean, we have some here, but they haven't heard it yet. So it'd be interesting to see if they say something.
Yeah, because Mojo gave it just a wonderful review, a timeless celebration of amplified tone and dynamism. Uncuts of the Twain still has the capacity to transport the listener. All I can say to that is amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Am I wrong, Dwayne, or with all due respect to all of your previous records and previous albums, I don't know that you've ever got universally such incredible reviews for any album you put out as you have with this one.
No, I don't think so either. I don't recall any, you know. I mean, when I was having hits years and years ago, they'd always make it a big pick, you know, in Billboard and Cashbox, you know, to... was pretty safe bet, but nobody ever actually listened to an album and reviewed it song by song. I mean, there's several of those that happened with this album, and one guy even compared me to Hemingway, which I know I'm not that. I don't know why he did that, but it was just beautiful writing, and this guy could write. He wrote the most beautiful. Well, they all did, but this one guy, he just was really colorful with his language. He said, there's Twango is a trip by Django Reinhardt's ranch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he said, there's a lot of pretty things here. He says, nothing that'll really upset the horses. But, but I don't know. He might be wrong about that, because I think Primeval might scare the heck out of him.
Yeah.
Well, I want to play a little bit of Primeval, and I got a question for you about that. Primeval from Duane Eddy's Road Trip album. So, Duane, what were you thinking of when you did that? Because that has to be in a Quentin Tarantino movie. I hear there's a little bit of yep, but it's funkier. It's raw. It's almost like a rumble. Or it's Primeval. I love it.
Yeah, it is Primeval. Yeah. I just wanted to... we just wanted to get back and get something really funky and just kick the... crud out of it.
Nice edit, Dwayne.
Yeah, that just came out of the blue.
And yeah. And that has the feel of everybody just being live in the studio and playing it. No overdubbing, am I correct on that?
Yep, Yep. I don't know. See, yeah, I think we were all there at the time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Richard was playing the Dano, and Chez was playing his electric guitar, I think, and John was playing piano, and Colin was playing bass, and Ron did the sax thing, and it was just, and Dean on drums, of course, mm-hmm. And he got his cymbals cranked up on it, and mm-hmm. and just, I mean, it just was a, it's kind of reminded me of Peter Gunn in a way, the way we recorded it, only because on Peter Gunn that happened, everybody just was going flat out, and we, you know, they lost control of it in the studio, in the control room. And Lee called me, and he says, "I don't know," he says, "about this." He says, "I don't know. I want to see what you think," he says, "because when we play it, you'll notice that if I turn up the pots," he says, "nothing changes, you know? No matter, we have no control." He says, "Well, I kind of like to see what you think." So he played it, and I says, "I love it." And he says, "You want to redo it?" And I said, "No, let's just keep that." And that was the record. And it was so funny. And this was kind of like that. It was just had that wild primeval thing that just, you know, just everybody was blown away, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So did you have the title first or the song first?
I think we had the song first, and then we came up with Primeval because it sounded that way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And just really basic, you know. And I like the kind of little guitar thing I did, which I don't know, just came out of nowhere. At the end there.
Mm-hmm. Well, this has been such a treat for us to be able to go through the cuts on the CD.
Well, it has been for me, too. Yeah. I wanted to, the only other one I wanted to mention was Rose of the Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to get to Rose of the Valley right out of the news. Now, if you want to hang with us for a couple seconds out of the news, you're welcome to.
Sure.
Okay,
right.
Good.
Okay. Tell you what I think of that.
Okay. Wonderful. We're talking with Duane Eddy. You know, this takes me back to our days with Les Paul.
When
say, well, now, if you want to, you pay the bills. I'm right.
I got my second win now.
What a treat. Well, thank you. Hang in there. We'll be right back with Duane Eddy. The new CD is entitled Road Trip.
Steve King and Johnny Putman of WGN Radio. This morning we're featuring Duane Eddy's brand new album, Road Trip. And from the album Road Trip, that is Rose of the Valley. And Duane, that is, I'm real curious to hear what you have to say about this, because that is an absolutely perfect cut. Nothing should ever be changed about that.
No, I don't think so either. It was Richard wrote that for, and his daughter's named Rose, and he kind of had her in mind when he wrote it. And to me, it sounds like such a 50s thing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's a rock and roll love song, ballad, just perfect rock and roll, you know.
Mm-hmm. And it's one of those perfect last slow dance, yeah. Ladies' Choice songs.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's one of those.
And your guitar, the guitar geek in me is saying, that just sounds so good.
You want one of those new Gretches, don't you?
Hello.
Oh, hush.
Hello.
Hush.
And I have a birthday coming up. But also, how you talked earlier about how on some of your earlier sessions, that sometimes the sax stuff would be overdubbed later. How cool was it to be able to do something like this, and you had your own sax guy, Ron, in the studio with you, and everybody's kind of feeling the vibe and just doing it live?
Oh, it's fun. It's just, it was just exciting. I mean, we did overdub a couple things, but the ones we did live were just so exciting because we're all there, we're all playing, and it just took me back to like when I did Because They're Young and everybody was playing, and I had except I had a whole string section in there for that song, and we were all doing that live. So, and we used to do a lot of stuff live, you know.
And I love the chorus on this too.
Aren't they good?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's. I'm not sure who that was. That was overdubbed, and I think it was the guys in the band.
Hmm.
And.
Well, Richard Hawley's name has come up so many times, and understandable because, you know, thank goodness you met him and everything worked out the way it did. With this is the final, the end of the dream of making a new CD. And a listener from a 312 area code text and says, Richard Hawley is one of my favorite guitarists from Pulp to his solo work. And with Dwayne working with him, this album sounds like it is a real must have.
Yeah, yeah, he did some good work. He took the solo on Road Trip and did some, I don't know, he's on several different things. Mm-hmm. Just between him and Chez Sheridan, mm-hmm. who is also a great guitar player. He's Richard's guitar player when he's, see.
Yeah.
And because he sings mostly when he works now and on his albums. And
Well, speaking of instrumentalist, a listener from an 815 area code said, has Dwayne had any interaction over the years with the Ventures? Noki Edwards had a solo album a few years back, and he's still making music. Well, indeed, you did.
You did a couple tracks with the Ventures.
I did, back when Bob Bogle was still with us, and Don, and all those guys.
What'd you do? I Fought the Law, and what was the other one?
Oh, it was an original of some kind. I Fought the Law, and you remember, Deed, the other song of the others, the name of the others? I don't remember.
We played both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of people said, oh, the Ventures, where they've been? Well, they've not never really stopped performing.
No, they kept working. They've been in Japan a lot.
They are truly huge in Japan.
Yeah. By the way, you'll love this text from a 773 area code. The CSO, the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, got nothing on this track.
Oh, that's
nice.
That's very sweet. Chicago Symphony Orchestra is a great orchestra. I mean, that's very complimentary to say that.
Now, Darren has an interesting question in his email. We talked about you being friends with Dick Clark over the years, and he wants to know if there was ever a time in your career when Dick Clark basically helped you decide what song would be an A-side, what song would be the single.
Yes, there was a time like that, and it was very early on. I came in one morning to... one Thursday morning, I brought in my new single to play and with my manager and with Dick. And they listened to it, and Dick said, and then they went in and huddled and went in the other room and talked for a while and came back out and said, I won't get it. And it was a song. I said, no, it's too slow. You can't have a slow song at this point. You need a fast song. And I was getting ready to do the Saturday night show, the Beach Nut show. Mm-hmm. That weekend, and so I said, well, I don't know, you know, what, let me call Lee, and I'll see what I can do. So I called Lee, and he said, well, I guess you could fly home, and we could cut something, and he said, you got any ideas? I said, well, I've been working on one I think would work. So Steve Douglas, I said, I'll need Steve for it, and he said, okay, well. So Steve and I flew back to Phoenix from New York that Thursday night and got there Friday morning, and it was prop planes then, DC-8s, DC-7s, and so... We recorded all day, and we did the song called, we decided to call it White Lightning. And so we got back to New York, flew back Friday night, had a Mexican meal while we were there, and got on the airplane, flew all night again, got back in New York then Saturday morning, and took it down to the little theater on 44th Street and played it, and came the manager and Dick came out all smiles and said, oh, that's great. Yeah, what do you call it? What's the name of it? And I said, White Lightning. And he said, oh, Dick says, that's not good. He said that reminds kids of drinking and stuff. You know, we don't want that. We want to set that example. I said, well, let me call Lee. And so I called Lee, and he says, oh, I'm glad you called. He said, I just found out George Jones has got a song, and it's been out for a couple of weeks, and I don't know how I missed it, you know, but I had missed it, and it's called White Lightning. And I said, okay, well, and then we talked about it a while and came up with Cannonball. And is that okay with you? Yeah, that's fine with me. Is that okay with you? Yeah, that's fine with me. So I took it back, and I went back in, and I said, okay, we're going to call it Cannonball. And Dick says, oh, that's great. And so that's how I got Cannonball.
Wow.
And the record they turned down said it was too slow was The Lonely One. So
boy.
We put that out afterwards.
Uh-huh. And Cannonball, of course, tied in with the whole Rebels thing and the Civil War thing.
Right.
Am I right? We may have talked about this before, but I believe you are one of only, I can only think of two performers on the early days of the Beechnut Show or American Bandstand that actually performed live sometimes. I believe you and Jerry Lee Lewis. Am I correct on that?
And I think you are. I think Jerry did a couple live things, and I know I did on the first one I did, the first remote I did down in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And Dick says you wanted to come down to Florida, so sure. We got in my 56 Chevy, pulling our U-Haul trailer, and we took ourselves down there to Miami and did a Saturday night show down there. And Jesse Belbin was on it, and it was just Diamonds, I think, Connie Francis. It was great fun and very exciting for me. But anyway, we got there, and he said, I want an opener for the show. We're going to do Rebel Rouser for the main part. So I said, well, he says, you could do Moving and Grooving, couldn't you? And I said, yeah. Can you do? And so we did that live to open the show. And he said, how about for the closer? We need a closer. And I said, well, we got this song that I've got, partly done. I said, it's called Ramrod. And so we worked that out. And we had the track done, but we didn't have any sax or anything on it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went in, and I worked it out with Steve and did the little arrangement, and we played it for Dick, and he said, oh, that's great, we'll close the show with that. And so they put me on they put us all on a big a platform, a forklift.
Mm-hmm.
Took us down through the audience to the stage. We jumped off on the stage and played Rebel Rouser the whole time, you know. Mimed it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I played Ramrod live at the end of the show. Well, Monday morning I got a panicky call from the label saying, from Jamie Records, saying, we got to have that song you played on Saturday night. We got 150,000 orders for it. And I said, well, you'll have to talk to Lee. So I called Lee, and we talked it back, and he said, well, I saw what you did. He says, I can do that. He says, I can get Blast to do it and the sharps. And so he took the sharps in, and they did the yells and the hand claps, and Blaz Johnson played the sax solos, and he just edited and clipped and sped it up a little bit, and there we went.
In fact,
they did that on Tuesday, and Wednesday they sent it to the pressing plant. Thursday they shipped it, and Friday it was in the stores.
Oh,
less than a week after I played it live. Wow.
But you and Lee caused me and a whole lot of guitar players a lot of problems. Because you mentioned that you sped it up.
That was Lee's fault.
And I wound up having to learn it. I think it was in the key of B by the time it was sped up.
Yeah.
And that was
up to B flat for the sax player. Well, I think he'd sped it. I found out recently, I think he sped it up the original track even, you know. For some reason, I don't know why.
But as a guitar player, it was incredibly hard to figure out, how the heck did he do that?
I know, John Fogerty said he learned it in B.
Yeah, that's what I had
and
to do.
And I said, really? And he says, yeah. He says, you're a wuss if you don't play it in B. Call me a wuss. I'm not playing it in B.
Well, we said we wouldn't keep you till 5. I can't thank you enough for hanging out with us this long. We're going to wrap up, and we're going to be playing the songs from the album all night long, but we're going to wrap up with Franklintown. And, Dwayne, we got to get you in the studio.
I know. It's so great to talk to you guys. I've been threatening to come up there when Doyle's there so we could have some fun, but one of these days.
I will tell you that Doyle is going to be back up. We've got an annual thing we do with Doyle at the Skokie Theater, and he's already booked it again. It's going to be in October. We emcee it, and Doyle comes up, so hint.
Well, I'll be in England in October.
Oh, that's why they're so happy in Birmingham, because you're going to be in Birmingham.
Yeah. Probably am. I don't know where they've got me booked, but they're putting together an actual tour, I think. Uh-huh.
I love when people email and they say, I'm listening in Birmingham and I don't mean Alabama.
Right, yeah.
Which I do suspect we have some folks listening in Alabama.
They're great over there. They're such sweet people.
Yeah.
They're really nice. It's like a second home to Dee and I. And,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, and I have a lot of fans here, too. It's just the same thing as it is there. It's just that everybody's so spread out here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's
true. When something happens on one side of England, they know about it on the other side.
You do something in London and they know it all over the country.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Or you do something in Sheffield, they know it in London. Mm-hmm. But in this country, I do something in Chicago, they never hear about it in Nashville. Or you do something in L.A. and they don't hear about it in Phoenix even, you know, so forth. I mean, things just, unless it's a disaster, of course, or unless you're on a national show. Mm-hmm. And, of course, on this radio show that's going over how many states are we?
Our
over-the-air signal at this time of night gets into the better part of 48 states and parts of Canada. And then with the Internet, we've got listeners literally all over the world. We just heard from some of our listeners in China and in Melbourne, Australia.
You know what? We get the same reaction when you're on with us as we have when we have Cliff Richard on with us. Because that's when the international audience comes out of the woodwork. Because thanks to the Internet, they get the word out that this is a chance to hear, this person that they truly love. And in fact, you worked with Cliff not too long ago, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I played on one of his records, a song called For Life.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful.
Great song.
Yeah,
Monroe produced it, Monroe Jones. And it was on an album a couple albums ago. Cliff had it on there.
Well, again, road trip. You got every reason to be proud. Go to sleep with a smile on your face.
Give Dita a hug from us.
Yes.
I will do, and we'll see you
sometime
soon. We'll
catch up soon. We sure will. We love you, Dwayne. Thank you so much.
I love you, too.
Bye-bye.
Take care, Dwayne.
All right. Good night.